Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. We need a word from the Lord. A word from the Lord. Just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Thy wisdom and thy understanding, though we lack the very love you show in the sun. Lord, we walked in bad ways and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord. Speak, Lord.
Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to the broadcast once again. This is Seeing Clearly in Dark Times, and this is your program host, Brenda K. Sanders. Well, I trust that you had a blessed week. I thank you once again for tuning in to the broadcast. As I said, you know, I always say that I have started this broadcast as a motivational broadcast, a motivational tool for someone. And I don't know from week to week the person or persons to whom I'm sending this message. But I certainly know that it is a needed message. It is a message that can speak to and appeal to everyone. Because, you know, I don't believe that there's anyone that has not gone through a place of darkness, a place of uncertainty, a place where you may have to take the next step in life, and you cannot discern where, when, or who. And it is a time when you're at a crossroad, usually, that you have to be maybe motivated or enlightened, why the light is so important when we're at those certain places. And so motivation is sometimes is just needed. I'm a person that I don't need motivation when I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't need motivation. Like today, I knew I was going to be doing this broadcast. When you know, it seems like when you know your pathway, motivation usually is not needed. And that's the way I think and feel. Maybe the uncertainty in terms of the pathway or decision is what is needing for motivation. Perhaps which way am I to go here? You know, I'm going to be moving here. I'm going to be doing that. Maybe that is where motivation can have the most impact. There's just some things that, you know, you have to go to work. I don't think you're going to seek God about that. Do I have to go to work, or maybe that particular day? But the assignment is already before you. The motivations, I believe, are already included, because you already know it's something that's outlined before you clearly. Motivation, however, in those dark times of uncertainty, is certainly needed. And I don't know anyone that doesn't need it at any given time. But when it is needed, there are principles that we can follow to seek God out. Because part of the motivation, and as I've told you before, when I've been in dark places, I have to be, sometimes you just have to be motivated and get that extra push to seek out the Lord, to find out what he wants you to do. And that's where the scripture, the theme scripture for this program comes in. It is 1 Corinthians 13:12. This is the amplified reading of the text. It says, "For now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality, as in a riddle or enigma. But then when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I've been fully and clearly known and understood by God." Where does the motivational element, where is it needed here in the scripture? I'm going to say that it's needed at the point of, you know, now we shall see in reality and face to face, okay? I put a big colon there, a big semicolon. And then this is where I think the motivation is needed. "Now I shall know in part, imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I've been fully and clearly and known and understood by God." Clearly, when you start knowing, when you have imperfect knowledge, when you don't have all the answers to your problems, when you can't see the answer, when you can't even fathom what the answers are going to be, that's when a motivational element should arise. It has to arise. That's the only way you're going to get to know God fully and clearly. And when he's going to be fully and clearly known and understood by God, and you're going to know what he wants from you as well. And I'm saying it's a two-way mirror, that you're going to know what God wants, and he is going to reveal himself to you as well. You're going to seek him out, and then he's going to be willing to reveal. But the motivation comes, certainly, we seek out. Sometimes we don't have the spiritual energy to seek out what God wants, what he wants for us. Because we're overwhelmed with grief. We're overwhelmed with depression. We're overwhelmed with negativity. So, you know, I don't want to know that. I thought God told me this, and it's turning out another way. It's so negative, I don't even want to know anything else he has to say. And that's when the motivational element is needed, so we can get back to what he says, and then hear what he says so that we can be further motivated, so we can further move into those things which he has called us to do. It's kind of, sounds kind of tricky. Am I making it sound more complicated than what it is? Well, I don't mean to. But certainly it is a pathway that I've walked myself. It's not easy when you're in that dark place, because it can be overwhelming. It can be something that stifles one's understanding of God and the pathways which he intends for us to take. Well, you know, the thing is to get to the motivational level where you can look around. I always say that, and I know that God has said that to me. When it's very dark, start looking around. And I'm saying, what do you mean by that? Do you mean go to the door and open the door and look around outside? He says, no, I want you to look around, because there's an answer I have provided for you right at that time when you are perplexed, when you are overwhelmed with the problems of life. And I started looking around. Let me tell you this. I've gotten a practice. When I feel really overwhelmed, I start looking through my emails. So write to my emails and start looking through them. Maybe perhaps someone has sent me a message. Maybe there is some answer there that God has provided. I look all around. I look on the internet because, and most of the time, there is an answer that has been provided. When I'm in that dark space and I'm crushed, or I'm perplexed about what moves I am going to make next in my life. So this show, I hope, will provide a testimony to those of you who've been in that dark place and you seek to come out of it and move forward to what God has given you and what he's given me. The other theme scripture, and I've been saying this scripture kind of as matter-of-factly for the last few weeks, and then the other day, this scripture had real meaning to me. It's like it was like illuminated. It's Psalm 37:25. I've been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The Lord said to me, didn't I give you that scripture at the beginning of the year? You surely did. Now it's time to meditate on it. You may not have needed it, you know, for all this time. Let's see, what's this been? Several weeks now. We're in the third month of the year. But now I asked a question, and that scripture came up as an answer. So the Word of God itself is motivation, by the way. It is motivational. And I know that I have deemed this broadcast a motivational broadcast, but the motivational tool is the Bible, the Word of God. Well, I have entitled this broadcast Even Until the Last, and, you know, this title was kind of appealing to me because, you know, I said, well, this is going to be the last, scripture verse that I'm going to talk about in John chapter 8 as it relates to the intercessory prayer model. Now, I know I have kind of diced this thing up very, very, very fine for the intercessor, but I believe that it has been covered in terms of what is our assignment. Well, we know what our assignment is deliverance and prayer. But to what degree are we to carry out this assignment? Well, of course, until victory is evident. But what are the characteristics of the intercessory prayer person? I've said it. I'm covering this passage of scripture from St. John 8, verses 1 through 11, that person is a persistent person, a humble person, a person sometimes, but a person that may be confrontational. And we're talking about the spiritual element here. It's hard to pretty much see this like in a spiritual way. So that's why I believe Jesus provided the exact personification of this intercessory assignment here in John chapter 8. So you can see how it's worked out and worked through. And, you know, Jesus looks like he's kind of passive here as he deals with the scribes and Pharisees. But when you go to Matthew 23, he's very aggressive and confrontational. And that's because he needed to be. And I guess that is a lesson, because we should know the battles to jump in and know when to do it. In this particular instance, he had a passive interaction with the scribes and Pharisees, And so, but he still had the victory. And I think that's what's important. He was still victorious in the assignment. And he was simply following what he was given by the Father. And it was a formula here for victory. Sometimes we have to do that. In fact, all the time, we should be looking to obey the word of the Father. You know, yesterday I was talking with one of my relatives, and it was a very important point that I wanted to make. And I was about to expound on something that I thought was important and tell them a little bit about something that was a family issue. And as I opened my mouth to start talking about it, I believed I was right. I believed I had all the evidence to show I was right. I heard something say, "Be quiet." And I immediately just changed the subject and then went into total silence, because I did not understand the impact of what was going on at that moment. I thought it was something important to say. But God knew better. Jesus knew better what I should be saying at that moment rather than my words at that moment. I immediately obey. And that's not easy to do with somebody like me. You like to talk. But obedience, I guess I've never put that as part of the intercessory prayer model, is the principle of obedience. Obedience. Follow what he tells you to do so that you can have victory. Well, I'm down to these last two scriptures, verse 10 and verse 11. Covered most of chapter 10 last week, but I'm going to read it again. It says, "When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And, of course, I talked about the conviction and the punishment, which was the condemnation. But as intercessory prayer warriors, we are to be exhaustive. And that's what I mean by the title of this broadcast, Even Until the Last. We are to pray until we see a total victory, not a partial victory. In this instance, the accusers of the woman were many. But when Jesus finished, you know, his part of the work here, all of the accusers were gone. Not just one, not just two, not just five. They came as a group. My understanding is here they came up as a group here to accuse the woman. And so they were varied and they were many. But Jesus, having the assignment to intercede, certainly dealt with the assignment exhaustively. He did not leave, and excuse this pun, any stone unturned, even though there were no stones thrown here, the potential for the same was dealt with when he dealt with each one of these accusers individually as well as a group, because they all disappeared. And even as it says, from one by one, and so no one, I can believe, can raise the argument they don't have a conscience. I believe this scripture undergirds the principle and what I'm going to argue to you today, that everyone has a conscience. Everyone is responsible when they have a conscience. Because it says, when they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even until the last, being convicted by their own conscience. So each one of them had one now. They could not, and no one can claim, I don't have a conscience. Yes, there was a conscience that resided in each one of those accusers. And so their conscience working within them was the conviction phase of this story. In verse 10, it says, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, I'm reading it again, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? In verse 11, finally, she said, no man, Lord, no man. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go. Well, let me go with the neither do I condemn thee. As intercessors, it would be a conflict of interest to pray for someone and judge them at the same time. It is not the job of the intercessor to convict. It is not the job of the intercessor to condemn. And I've seen a lot of people, I know of a lot of people, they try to do both. You can't do it. You can't do a good job representing someone if you're going to judge them, or interceding for a person if you're going to judge them. I gave the example last week of the surgeon. Say there's a robbery attempt and one of the robbers, so the accused robbers, gets shot. Is shot, and the surgeon has to operate on the robber. That surgeon can judge and operate at the same time, and that's the same way it is with the intercessory prayer person. Can't judge. You can't do it. It's just you won't be able to do both. And so here with Jesus, he did not convict. He left that to their conscience, and then he did not condemn. He spoke to her and said, well, I'm not going to condemn you either. They couldn't condemn her because they hadn't convicted her, first of all, because they didn't have a good case. And so they could not convict. They could not condemn either. And so Jesus here said, neither do I condemn thee. He maintained his objectivity. He obtained his humility in the situation and did not condemn the woman. Instead, he allowed their consciences to deal, their own respective conscience, to convict them of the injustice that they had brought to Jesus. And see, we need that. We need that in our justice systems. We need that in our court system. We need justice. And I recall now that one of my instructions as a judge was to use my conscience. It's written in the law, even today. And if we proceed with that, then we'll hear fair decisions and not unjust decisions. And to ignore the conscience, of course, would be to ignore the instruction of the law. And isn't that funny? That's real law today. That is real law, and I can say that to you. And if we go by our conscience, then justice will be accomplished. That's another reason, and we see it laid out here right in scripture. Well, I made some points because I wanted to finalize this series of broadcast about the intercessory prayer person. And I'm just going to read my text today. It says, the intercessor does not condone sin, but can offer spiritual counsel. And that's what I wanted to get to. When he said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Jesus here as intercessor, you know, I talk a lot about having spiritual insight, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. That is very real, events. Jesus, in talking to this woman, and I'm trying to figure out if he saw something within this woman. He evidently saw it with the scribes and Pharisees where they start walking out. But he saw something, maybe. Or maybe he didn't see a sufficiency as such where he was going to convict her on anything. He couldn't. But he did say to her, go and sin no more. And I guess he said, like he said with the Mosaic law, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. And he admonished her. He gave her spiritual counsel. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. And that's the spiritual counsel that he gave her. And I believe the intercessor is equipped to give and render spiritual counsel. He didn't condemn her. He didn't want her stoned. He didn't want to publicly embarrass her. But he did give her spiritual counsel. And without, you know, oh, you are this or you're that. Well, maybe he didn't have enough information. Maybe he didn't know anything about the woman that was at verse. And another thing I look at, in the Mosaic law, it was a sin to think about, it says to look upon a woman, you know, to desire her. That was considered adultery. Well, you know, you didn't do it outwardly, but you did it in your heart. And I don't know what the, and maybe that was what scribes and Pharisees brought the woman to Jesus for. I don't know. It's unclear. But he certainly, and I want to drive home my point that the intercessor can offer and can render spiritual counsel, even though they're not supposed to condemn and convict. And the second tag that I have is the intercessor should refrain from conviction and condemnation of the prayer target. Now, this is not, this is when there's a lack of evidence or when it's incomplete. Under the law, there are times when the case is proven. Conviction is mandated, and punishment, condemnation, is mandated. That is justice as well. This is a situation where it was not mandated. My third tag, the miracle of exoneration from a death sentence, provided a testimony to the woman. I don't know about you, but if I was exonerated and I thought I was going to face death, that would be a testimony to me. That would be a miracle to me. And the person that helped bring it about would certainly have authority to speak to me and talk to me about my life. And that's my next tag. The deliverance that was accomplished allowed Jesus to speak with spiritual authority to the woman. So he could say to her, go and sin no more. He had a relationship with her at that point, and a relationship not to punish, not to beat her down, but to win her spiritually and promote her faith in Jesus. And lastly, the point is Jesus did not use his spiritual insight about the scribes and Pharisees for any political gain or to gain power over others. He did not. And that's another thing about intercessors. I mean, we may learn when we're praying for someone, information, It is not to be used to get some gain out of it. It can be used for your prayer assignment. And I mean, naturally, if information is revealed, then that's a different thing. But prayer with the intercessory prayer warrior, it is not to be used in any other way but to gain the victory through the prayer life. And the last thing I wanted to say in ending this series of what I was talking about for intercessory prayer. I don't know, I'm getting tongue-tied here. is that you will know when your assignment has ended. You will feel a release. Or maybe, you know, you will get a message like I got yesterday. Just be quiet here. You don't have to do anything else here. And in that instance then we should move to the next assignment. Because I'm going to tell you why I said that. Because in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it tells us to pray without ceasing. So do we stop praying? No. But we move on to the next prayer assignment. Jesus certainly did not stop interceding for the people. He didn't stop interceding for himself. There were many people that came to believe in Jesus. Even in John chapter 12, verse 42, I was reading this. It says, Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And so Jesus had impact. He had authority. He walked with impact and authority. But among the chief leaders, these are the only people that had an issue with him. Why? Because they weren't performing with influence, with the influence they were supposed to have. And so the people were turning from them and turning to Jesus. And he performed the miracles. He performed the intercessions. And the word does declare that those signs shall follow them that believe. And so they believed, he believed, and there were works, many works that were accomplished. Also, Exodus 23:6-7, it says, do not deny justice to your poor people in their lawsuits. This is the NIV translation of this verse of scripture. Have nothing to do with a false charge. And that was part of the Hebrew law as well, the Hebrew edict not to engage a false charge. And that was what Jesus was following. And so also, it was just commanded that justice be done. If the charge is false, don't entertain it. Move away from it. Throw it out. And justice will be performed. And that is a scripture. I just saw that today. And in fact, someone tweeted this on Twitter, and I was able to look at it. And so that was a mandate that Jesus was following as well. So the spiritual assignment of intercession must be completed. When it's completed, it's exhaustive. It covers every area, and so there's complete and total deliverance. And it must be entertained until the Lord tells us to stop. There's a time to pray and then a time to stop temporarily, of course, because when we pray without ceasing, apparently there's going to be another assignment that is going to be there for us, our next prayer assignment. We're supposed to move on because there's something, always something to pray about. I mean, if you look at the news, if you look at anything, it's going to prompt one to pray because we do need prayer. And there's prayer needed all the time. And if you're a seasoned intercessor, the thing is, you're oftentimes going to be praying and you're not going to be, it's not going to be on any particular subject. You may be praying to preempt events. And that's when you know you've really been called to be an intercessor because you know, most of us look at the weather, oh, Lord, it's a storm coming. Let me pray. Well, you know, then you get your cue to pray, or your trigger to pray. You're looking at a weather report or something. But the intercessor is going to be matured where they're going to start praying even before there's a need to pray. It's going to be like a preemptory type prayer situation. And that's when we can pray to prevent things from happening. Now, Jesus here intervened to stop the action, and it had already started. But we can pray where we can see negativity coming or bad events coming, and they will be stopped. They will be prevented. And so we will continue this prayer, this intercessory prayer model. I'll probably get back to it in the future broadcast. But hopefully this has prompted or informed an intercessor motivationally about what we should be doing as prayer warriors and intercessors in the body of Christ. Well, that is all I have to share with you this week. Next week, I'm going to start something new. I'm not sure what it's going to be. Something I hope that will be meaningful and interesting. I would like to thank you for tuning into the broadcast again this week. You may go to blogtalkradio.com/BrendaKSanders to listen to an archived version of this episode. If you have questions, comments, or even prayer requests, you may email me at teamclearlyinthedark@gmail.com. And the address that I gave, I believe, a couple of broadcasts ago is that's not a functional email. Well, thanks again for listening, and have a blessed week.
Now, you might be standing next to somebody and you don't know what they've been going through. But when I think about the goodness of Jesus, woo, I'm about to have church right by myself. Is that all right? I want you to lift your voice and talk to the person next to you and guarantee them that prayer.